Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT. Striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Speed, a self-proclaimed student of life. In the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in WeTalk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook or PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Tyree Nichols, murdered by law enforcement. DeSantis defends rejection of African American studies. I'm going to start off with Buck Tyree. Tyree Nichols received a death sentence for driving while black. Look at what the brothers did to another brother. You can take a look at this. If this is madness, that, and this is all on video, and which makes a statement in and of itself. You do this on videotape, and we wonder, you know, we talk about the guys in the street that are just murdering people on videotape, you know, did the automatic weapons, semi-automatic weapons, and, you know. Well, here we have, well, it's not new, not even a novel subject. George Floyd was in the beginning of this. Been going on for ever. But anyway, we're going to go. We're going to take a look into this thing. I'm seeing it, right? It captured it pretty well, I think. Shows Tyree calling for his mother while these guys are just kicking and beating the life out of his brother. And they say it's initially a routine traffic stop. And you got to wonder, it makes you wonder, okay, you know, some people like to go into the numbers and stuff like that. But the numbers don't count when people are losing their dignity and their lives and stuff like that. It doesn't matter about the numbers or anything like that. Because, one, that happens once a year. That's one time too many. Because you can't get your life back. Sometimes you can't get back what they beat out of you also. Brother was screaming for his mother as Memphis police officers struck him multiple times, including in the face while his hands were restrained. So he couldn't defend himself. He couldn't protect himself. They were beating this guy while he was basically tied up, handcuffed. That police weren't doing. We see police have worked that way, seen that. And it seems that these guys must think that there's no consequences for their behavior. Mind you, they have been arrested and things like that. But it's not what you do after the fact that we're worried about really the most. We're concerned with that law enforcement, people in law enforcement feel that they can do this to people, because until they are, for whatever reason they choose to do it, because it's the right thing to do, not to disrespect people verbally, intimidate people, beat them, kill them, until they feel and act and behave that way. We're not safe, because you never know when you, as an individual, is going to run into this guy. Tyree just happened to run into five of them. What's the brother's name? Rodney King, and I'm sure other people, he's not the only person who's saying, you know, examples. You know, this guy ran into, you know, it's like he ran into five guys that were willing to let him die on the street. Anyway, go on. The city on Friday night released body camera of, I think it's happened on the set, body camera of the surveillance. Body camera. This is really part that is really me as a leader. Like, I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. But then you got a body camera on. And you beat a man to death. Handcuffing, kicking him. You got to watch the video. It's horrific. Body camera surveillance video from January 7th. Traffic stop. This is a traffic stop, y'all. And beating led to the 29-year-old death, right, in the hospital from his injuries 3 days later. Mother says he's dead. He died that night on the 7th, and the hospital kept him alive on the, what's that called, on life support, right? And you see the beating. He probably, no doubt, you know, it doesn't matter. He's dead. And, you know, he was kept alive on life support. So you being kept alive on life support, that's what it is. You are no longer to live without life support. That's dead. Anyway, the release is coming a day after five Memphis police officers, who also are black and were fired, a day after. Y'all gotta pay attention to this. It's because that's another way of looking at this shit thing also, but, you know, they have been fired and were charged with murder a day after. You may remember, a guy by the name of Laquan McDonald, who was shot 17 times by a police officer. Coming on the scene where police officers were already there, and shot him 17 times, 16 times, I think, on the ground. Anyway, how long it took for that videotape to be released, how long everything, it was just a long process to identify, to get the videotape out, to be transparent and things like that. Here we have five black men, which is why you African American police officers. Why are you trying to? If you're gonna, you know, model your behavior after somebody, why would you model your behavior after bad cops, evil cops? That doesn't make sense. So you need to really think about what you're doing. Why? So it reminds me of, I guess all of this has rooted in its origin from the slave catching situation, you know, where they offered you slaves to catch runaway slaves and things like that. Not that Brother Tyreek is a runaway slave, but it seems like we got the same thing going here. So, but this is pretty quick. So a videotape, just like the Quran, and what was the guy's name? I forget the cop's name. But it took a long time for that to even come to light. But here we have this. This is pretty quick, right? Anyway. Of course, they say the footage is done. Reaction from law enforcement experts, outrage from officials, including President Joe Biden, who said it was yet another painful reminder of the profound fear and trauma, the pain, and the exhaustion that black and brown Americans experience every single day. I just want to say, nobody, black, brown, white, yellow, green, nobody should have to go through this, you know, but it seems like it's a green light on a brother. You don't have to do much to get this kind of treatment if you run into this guy. He ran into five of them. Of course, they protested in Memphis, blocking the interstate, 55. Police pulled Nichols over in Memphis, and what they initially said was on suspicion of driving recklessly. Okay, so pulled him out of his car. A struggle ensued. He ran away. Minutes later, officers would catch up with him, hit and kick him numerous times, right? Watch the videotape. So we go from the beginning. If that's a short version, I'm just going to go through, give you, try to paint a picture with the words that the author uses, and then so you can see how this thing just exploded for no reason. And this is no reason. This is why, you know, cause I know they have, you know, if you do something to a police officer, they treat you a little differently, but I think there should be something there in place where police officers act out of their job description, and they act like criminals. If you're not there to do your job as a police officer, which starts with your demeanor of how you language what you want to say when you confront a person, in this case, suspected of driving. It seems like the only reckless people here are the police officers. And reckless is not even a word that describes them. But if you want to look at who's reckless in a scenario, it's Memphis police, law enforcement. Anyway, the first encounter of traffic stop, the so-called traffic stop, I'm going to say so-called traffic stop, you know, because I can't believe anything these guys have said. 2:24 p.m. Nichols sounded calm from the body cam video, right? The officer approached the scene. An officer is yelling at Nichols to get the fuck out the car. That's what they say. I'm reading this. You know, my brother, Kenny, don't like cousin. So I think it's appropriate for that. Officers pulled Nichols out of the car. Someone is heard saying, "Get the fuck on the ground!" and turned his ass around. Nichols responds saying, "I didn't do anything. All right, I'm on the ground." Officers yell at him to lie down and threaten to tase him. One officer tells him, "Bitch, put your hands behind your back before I break them." Nichols can be heard telling them, "You guys are doing a lot right now. I'm just trying to go home. I'm on the ground." At 5:25 p.m., one officer sprayed Nichols in the face with pepper spray. Nichols then struggles to his feet and begins running from the officer as another shoots a taser at him and apparently didn't make contact. So already, this is turned into a terrorist attack, a monstrous attack. A struggle ensues. Nichols gets up and runs, and the officers chase him. Catch Nichols on a neighborhood street minutes later, around 8:34 p.m. He screams for his mom as video show an officer arriving at the scene. So he wasn't, I think they said he was like 80 yards from his house, something like that. He called out for his mom three times. Officer told Nichols to give them his hand as a struggle ensues on the ground. He's trying to get away from these guys. He already said these guys are killing him. It hurt him very bad, right? And officer asked Nichols, "Do you want to be sprayed again?" Two officers hit and kicked Nichols as he's on the ground. Nichols screams and continues to call for his mom a while. An officer is eventually heard yelling at Nichols, I'm going to pretend the fuck out of you. Give me your fucking hand. So he was struck multiple times without visible provocation. Was without, he wasn't fighting back. The man's trying to live. A remotely operated pole-mounted police surveillance video in the neighborhood recorded this also, right? It shows the officers hitting Nichols at least 9 times without visible provocation. I mean, he wasn't throwing no blows at them. This man's just scared to death of being beat to death or dying that night because he was being attacked by 5 monsters. When the camera first turns toward the scene, an officer shoves Nichols hard to the pavement with a knee or a leg. Nichols is pulled up by his shoulders and then kicked in the face twice. After being pulled up in the sitting position, Nichols is hit in the back with what appears to be a nightstick. So if we got any police, law enforcement, tell me, why do people think they can do this to a human being? If you did it to a dog, it would be an outcry. If you're doing it to a human being, hey, get away with that. What video's running? You know, why did these guys have no regard for human life? After being pulled to his knees, Nichols is hit again. This is the guy crying out for his mom. Once pulled to his feet, the video shows officers hitting Nichols in the face multiple times while his hands are restrained, right? Cuffed behind his back or held behind his back, right? After which he falls to his knees. That's a hell of a thing to go through one night on your way home. 5 people you don't know, but you might know about what they do, and you already are apprehensive, and they start to do that thing that they do, that they're known to do in that community. You dig? Now you see that you are about to become one of their victims. Right? Initially. And now he's in it, so now he is one of their victims. In the worst way. Less than a minute later, an officer appeared to kick Nichols more than 3 times after the encounter is first seen on his camera. Officers let go of Nichols, and he rolls on his back. That's how bad Nichols is going to live. 1 minute later, Nichols is dragged along the pavement and propped up in a sitting position against the side of a car where he is largely ignored by officers. You know, they're supposed to render aid, right? For the next 3.5 minutes. So the body cam video, officers can be heard talking about the encounter. So you can imagine what they're talking about. They're plotting their story, the scenario, to justify, which I don't care if he did swing at him. Everything they did is ridiculous. That says you got 5 guys out there looking to kill people every night, every day. Because one guy said he swung, pow, almost hit me. One officer said, then he reached for an audible, it's a gun, right? I guess that's a effing gun, a second officer says. One officer says, Nichols had his hands on my gun. And motherfucker was holding it. These guys are insane. How do they pass the psychic valve? An officer later describes a traffic stop involving Nichols. We tried to get him stopped. He didn't stop. I just dragged him out of the car. An officer says he drove around, swerved, nearly hit my car. Drove him out of the car initially. And so these guys are so mad with whatever kind of evil, the spirit that's within them, they conjuring up stories that don't even match remotely what's happening at night. It makes you wonder, do they, is this par for the course when cops want to kick the mind, you know, teeth out one night, bust somebody up? Van Jones, former special advisor to President Barack Obama, said this. Nichols goes from a voice of calm during the initial encounter to panic to agony. Why the brother got to go through that? Why? We have a caller, 8262. Welcome to the
story. Hey, how's it going? You know, I just heard about this this whole thing today, actually. I was at the gym, and then I saw the video footage from the, I think it was a office, or no, a apartment complex. I didn't see the cam from the police officer until just today when I got home. But I saw the original footage, and I got to say, that original footage from the apartment complex or where whatever it was, that looked bad. It looked like those police officers were just swinging on this dude for no damn reason at all. And consistently, there was a police officer punching him and then kicking him and punching him. And he just kept punching him over and over, like walking in a circle. It looked like a boxing thing, except three police officers was holding is his name Tyree? Holding him down while one police officer was just walking around punching him. I thought it was ridiculous, but when I got home, I went on WorldStar and I saw the footage from the police officer's point of view. And that still looked kind of bad, but I could hear the police officer saying stuff like, stop resisting arrest, give us your hand, let go of your hand, we need to give us your hand, get down on the ground. Now, I don't think that the police officers were justified in beating him. There has to be better training for these freaking cops, man. This is not the way to deal with a criminal or a suspect or anybody. There has to be a better way. But at the same time, if you're getting if you're getting caught by the police or something like that, you shouldn't resist arrest. You know what I mean? You shouldn't be fighting back. You just let them do whatever they're gonna do. Just be calm, be patient, and if they say put your hands behind your back, do it. If you want to live, do it. Why do you have to resist arrest and fight back just to make a point? Do you want to live? You know what I mean? So I kind of want to say that, you know, it could have been avoided. That's the main thing. It could have been avoided. When George Floyd had died, I had said that I was on a lot of Blog Talk Radio shows saying, you know, we got to stop thinking this is a black and white thing. I mean, black lives, it might seem like there's a lot of footage of black people getting killed, but at the same time, there's a lot of footage of white people getting killed, too. It's not, police are not targeting one race specifically. There's something wrong with the police in general. We need to find out why the police are behaving this way. And when you overlook the race thing and you just pinpoint it to the fact that there's something wrong with the cops, maybe you could solve this issue of why the police officers are killing so many or overreacting and harming so many people. And I thank God we have cameras that are catching it now. I can't imagine back in the days without these cameras how many of these incidences went unnoticed. You know what I mean? So that's my two cents on this thing. Don't resist arrest. But at the same time, we need to find out why these police officers are behaving this way. And here's just a quick point of view of why I feel the police are behaving this way. I think they're drinking too much caffeine. I think that the level of caffeine that they're drinking right now is just making them act too much. I'm pretty sure a lot of them are drinking those super caffeine drinks like Red Bull, Monsters, and they're not drinking one or two. They're drinking like three or four to stay awake because they're doing long shifts. Now, if it was a doctor or a pharmacist or even somebody at McDonald's, you know, they're just jittery. They can't do anything. But when you're allowing police officers to drink that much caffeine and they get jittery, they react. You know what I mean? They react and then they fight. I'm pretty sure boxers, MMA fighters do these things, drink these things before fight, these pre-workout high-intensity drinks. And I think that's what these cops are doing. And I'm pretty sure that's what's getting them high and behaving these ways. That's my two cents. I hope I don't, you know, sound wrong for saying that, but that's just my.
No, it's no wrong. It's your opinion, right?
Yes, thank you.
Right, that's your observation and your opinion. So that's what we want to hear on this show, right? It's not so much if you're being right or wrong. We want to know what people are thinking.
Okay,
all right.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, thanks.
All right. Okay, we have another caller. 049. No. I guess he put away. What's this? 8258? Is that new or? Let me see. 8258?
That's me.
That's you?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you.
Hello?
Welcome.
All right. I think the problem is when people, there's an issue with people dying for minor traffic stops. You know, it's one thing if you're chasing the mass shooter, you know, at Walmart or whatever, but people are losing their life over minor issues. I'm not sure, but I heard the police chief said that they followed the cameras along the highway or the roads, and they never saw this guy driving whatever term was used by the police. Another thing that people need to look at is when these people are being assaulted, they're being told to be still, but actually their body goes into survival mode. You understand? Because
right.
The things that are being done to them are things that are killing them. So
right.
They're moving around trying to get air, you know, or whatever. I don't care about the police saying stop resisting. That's sort of like an asinine statement. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you have somebody pinned up and they can't take a reasonable breath of air. So there's
right.
something wrong with the mindset of these perpetrators who happen to be police officers, that when they are doing these things to people, that they don't have understanding of the human body. You understand? You're inflicting
right.
pain, but you're saying don't move, and you interpret
right.
it as resisting arrest, really?
Are they interpreting or are they just saying that to it so it sounds like it? It fits the scenario for their behavior. It's an interpretation
Even in saying it, you know that that's not the case. These people are trying to survive, you
right.
know, and you have so many people who don't stop because the police, you know, come after them because, quote, unquote, they fear for their life. You understand?
Right.
So they try to go to a familiar place, a lit place, and there's some type of protocol you're supposed to follow, put your blinkers on, drive at a slow pace or whatever. But come to find out, this gentleman was just a few yards from his home.
Right.
He was almost
which he was trying to get to. Right.
Now, right, which he was trying to get to, a place of safety. You know,
right.
but what happened to him shouldn't happen to anybody. You know, but it is more common than is reported, number one. Number two, the swiftness with which the police and authorities gave this information, gave up these cops and this thing, was fantastic. But it's inconsistent. You know? Because when the perpetrators tend to be people of a different hue, they move a lot slower. You know, they're reviewing the videos. You know, it's a whole lot of nonsense. So what you learned is that it can be done.
Right.
They can give us that information from the chief, everybody just running their mouth fluently. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They weren't stuttering about anything that they were saying, which I found to be amazing. in a sarcastic way, and then amazing in the way that that's what should happen when these incidents occur. You understand?
Right.
Okay. That's basically all I had. I just think it's asinine when people are treating people inhumane to expect for them to just, you know, like the gentleman said, you know, stop resisting. Who said he's resisting? He's trying to survive.
That's right.
You're getting your head kicked in, you know, and all
right.
this stuff. So you're in survival mode,
right.
you know. And all you right. know is these people are a threat to you. You understand what I'm saying?
And
they're
they
not relenting. They're not relenting
right.
on what they're doing. I think it was the incident in which they told him to get on the ground, and the guy said, I am on the ground. You see what
right.
I'm saying? So they're in a hyper state, and they are not in tune to their environment. You understand? And they just want control. You know, and use the same terminology. I like what the boy's mother said. You're a disgrace to your family.
Right.
You understand? We know that this happened because of other people. But for you to do the same thing, you're a disgrace. That's all I got to say. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Okay, and to add to that, I saw a video where a police dog was chewing on a guy's calf, and the police officer had a audacity to tell the guy to stop resisting. The dog chewing on his calf. It's amazing that, and you know, to what the brother said, the first guy to call, if you have to be trained to be humane, you have no business in law enforcement because you are a psychopath or sociopath. If you have to be trained to be humane, you are not qualified to be on any law enforcement. You can't be a mall cop. They have to train you to be humane, not to do what these guys did, because you have to come that way. And you have to be trained how to subdue people in a way that it doesn't cause them the least amount of harm. Not what these guys did. They did what you might expect a mob to do to somebody, a snitch or a gang member to catch up another gang member. You know, they hate him. And anybody but, you know, the Klan or somebody to do, you know, anybody but law enforcement to do something like that, you know. There's really no reason for that to have happened, even if Tyree had resisted. The brother said one thing you can do is don't resist. He offered very little resistance to this guy. Stop. That's not resistance. They told me it's a traffic stop. Why are you telling the man to get out of the car? And just so you know, once you start hearing somebody say, stop cussing at you, coming at you in an aggressive way, no. That sets the mood for you to either flight, you know, if that flight or stay syndrome is going to kick in, you know, that survival, that you're going to run or you're going to stay there and take cover. You know, you're going to be in shock or whatever. But you, and they probably know who these guys are. They are of a special unit, and I'm thinking this is their special. Putting fear in the hearts of these street thugs. So, in this case, the black community, because I wouldn't have ever done that to a white guy. We all wanted that problem. But like as I said, that shouldn't happen. White on white shouldn't happen. White on black. Black on black. But it did happen. And it's happening because of the nature of these guys as law enforcement. Brother came up with that they're getting this caffeine boost, and that's causing them out. Man, that's interesting. Well, I never heard anything like that, but that is interesting. I'm going to have to do some research on how these caffeine products impact on behavior. Just to follow up on that for myself. So Tyree Nichols had every right to use one of his assailant's weapons to defend himself, in my opinion. Because he's dead now. So if you're going to die, you know, you're going to die, you might as well go down and fight. Guys, they should have beaten him to death. That, he had every right to preserve his life, but he didn't. The man just tried to live. He just tried. He didn't try to hurt nobody. He didn't try to kill. He didn't try to defend himself by fighting back. He just tried to live. And you know, that's no reason to beat a man, period. He's just existing. Resisting ain't no mean Malcolm in his head. Right? He ran because he was being assaulted by law enforcement during a traffic stop. Isn't it police decision to snatch people out of a vehicle, roll them to the ground, mace, tase, cuff them during a traffic stop? What was the traffic stop violation? As all of this said, there's no evidence of what they said he was doing on the cameras. So, but if you can lie, if you can kill somebody and lie about it, that's what you're gonna do, right? Because you don't wanna be prosecuted for homicide, right? So he said he was repeatedly left on the pavement 10 minutes into the camera video, a few minutes after officers disengaged. You gotta watch the video, y'all. That whole thing about stop resisting, as I said, that's something I think these guys are saying to justify why they had to use physical force. But if he was resisting, the force that they used was extreme and unnecessary. You see, it's not about resisting. That thing was about beating the hell out of this guy. And they didn't care about the damage they caused. Watch the video for yourself. Well, you don't even have to watch the video. He's dead. They beat him to death. So even if without watching the video, you know something with Charles Duvall this night. Then it says somebody who appears to be a paramedic engages Nichols for the first time around 8:41, but the responders will repeatedly walk away from Nichols before an ambulance arrives. So why was they doing that? They think he was dead, or what was it? Was it so brutal of a attack that, oh my God, you know. 2 minutes after a paramedic started attending to Nichols, he is seen falling over to the side and seeming to hit his head against a piece of equipment, like bright light was still in his face. No one appeared to help Nichols as he tried to sit up, only to fall over again. So, he didn't think he was dead, but apparently he was able to move again, right? About a minute later, officers are seen crowding around Nichols, only to step away as he again falls to his side. First responders then spend nearly 5 minutes standing over Nichols and occasionally shining a light towards his face before walking away. That's a first responder, not responding, right? So he didn't even get no help. Footage show 21 minutes passed. From when the paramedics first appeared to arrive to when an ambulance finally pulled into view. 102. So, Sheriff places two deputies on leave after seeing the videos, right? Two deputies. Shelby, with the Shelby County Sheriff's Office, have been put on leave pending an investigation after the sheriff viewed the videos Friday. I have concerns about the two deputies who appeared on the scene following the physical confrontation between police and Tyree Nichols. Now, how about usually a confrontation means you got two people fighting. Okay, this man is supposed to fight for his life. Anytime somebody has, as a caller said, anytime you expect someone not to fight for their life, right? You are a madman. That's unrealistic. So he had concerns about the two deputies, right? I said earlier, two fire department employees who were part of Nichols' initial patient care were put on leave while an internal investigation is being conducted, right? Because they just came in and said, oh, man, y'all, that pin up. Man, they didn't worry about name stuff a little bit. You know, they don't even worry about their own jobs. They're not even concerned that, hey, I need to do my job so I don't get fired. They're not even worried about that. None of these guys. Police chief said these are acts that defy humanity. Yes. Okay. Police have not, as the caller said, have not been able to find anything to substantiate, right, to corroborate, to support, to show, to evidence the probable cause for reckless driving by Nicholas before his fatal encounter. So what are these guys stopping this guy for? The chief derelict, right? He told CNN, they really need to see why they stopped him. We don't have any support to corroborate anything these guys are saying. So if there's no support for that, why would you even believe when them when they say stop resisting? And you're supposed to be resisting. I don't care what nobody says. Those dudes look like they're not small guys. They are pit this guy. Like he's a pinata or something. You're supposed to be this, and you are supposed to fight back. If you're going to die, might as well go down and fight. Enough of this. Sit there and let police murder you kind of like stuff. We'll whip you, beat you into a coma. Come on now. So he was going to be in a hands-on situation on the jump street. They stopped him basically for nothing. For being black, driving while black. Tyree Nichols' mother says Memphis officers brought shame to their family, to the black community. All right, so they right along with the brothers. They say they're being inhumane out here, murdering each other, shooting each other 11 times in the head, in the body, and all that. They're right with them. Police officials in a number of major cities nationwide have said they are monitored for any possible public outcry this weekend over what will be seen on a video footage. They saw it. They said, oh, my God. Right? So police nationwide have been under scrutiny. They said scrutiny for how they treat black people, particularly since the Minneapolis police murder of George Floyd back in 2020 and the mass protest movement known as Black Lives Matter. I don't know about that. Police have been under the scrutiny since George Floyd. George Floyd was just something that caught the attention of the media because it was live. You could like the Twin Towers. This man being killed live on social media because people had cameras and stuff like that. No, police have brutalized black communities since there have been black communities, as evidenced by the emergence of the Black Panther Party in 1966, even more as evidenced by the long history of police brutality perpetrated on the black community. So, and as the other person said, they perpetrate brutality on white folks too, right? So, getting their heads knocked in. Not about very seriously, they're going to knock Elon Musk in the head when it was suspected traffic stop. Anyway, the Black Panther Party originated Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, right? Founded in 1960 in California by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. The party's original purpose was to patrol African-American communities, right? And monitor the police interaction, right, with African Americans, right? So In the late 60s, membership exceeded 2,000, and the organization operated chapters in several major American cities. Back then, the party launched more than 35 survival programs providing community help, such as education, tuberculosis testing, legal aid, transportation, assistance, ambulance services, and the manufacture and distribution of free shoes for poor people. And they also started a free breakfast program for children in 1969, they say. And the program was made permanent by the federal government in 1975, right? So we know why we are still having this same conversation. We are still in the same condition. There were always two laws, one for law enforcement and one for black people. And black people were not afforded the same or equal protection under the law then or present. More equal protection under the law would be observed at street level, supported by the way law enforcement interacts with black people. Tyree Nichols feared for his life, but his respect for the authority of law enforcement led him into the hands of his murderers. He wouldn't stop no gangbangers. You understand what I'm saying? No guys wearing white sheets. He would have kept going. He'd speed it up. Probably would have started driving reckless. Anyway, that should never happen. Law enforcement should at least be afraid, no, terrified to violate, brutalize, or murder a citizen or anyone, any color. The level of comfort committing such heinous acts speaks to their lack of fear of consequences from law enforcement or the community. Black communities that are chaotic, disorganized, self-destructive are communities that are hunting ground for those who seek to exploit the community's chaotic, disorganized, self-destructive state. Black people, unite, unite. Cease fire. Learn, and repent or fall powerless victim to the jaws of the hellhounds that hunt you. Maybe one day we will get there. We will be utterly destroyed mentally, physically, spiritually, morally, ethically, socially, economically, and politically if we do not, cannot, or will not unite. Article goes on to say, before the videos were made public, was asked for supporters to be peaceful during their demonstration. Seems like I haven't heard anything about any looting, stuff like that, and burning and stuff like that. So, and I haven't seen anything happening where I am. The five officers are scheduled for February arraignment, right? They are identified as Tadarius Bean, Demetrius Haley, Justin Smith, Emmett Martin, and Desmond Mills, Jr. They were all fired January 20th for violating police policies, including or use of excessive force, police said, right? Okay, they were charged this week, right, for this article. Each had been charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, two charges of aggravated kidnapping, two charges of official misconduct, and one charge of official Martin and Haley were released from jail on a $350,000 bond. I'm just trying to figure out, are they suspected of homicide or are these the guys on tape killing this man? Because if they are the guys on tape killing these guys, how do they get bail? Why are you letting these murderous madmen back out on the street? The five former officers scheduled for arraignment on February 17th. Blake Baldwin, attorney for Mills Jr., he said that he don't think his client is capable of what he's accused of doing. He's in the video. If he's in the video, he's capable. He's a supportive individual of a crime committed by police officers, law enforcement. He said, and his client is remorseful to be connected to the death of Nichols. Well, being connected to the death, which is a murder, a homicide, makes you guilty, right? Especially being a police officer, that his duty is to intervene, right? The attorney Baldwin, he urged those who watched the video to treat each of the officers as individuals, right? The levels of culpability amongst these five officers are different, right? Desmond Mills is not, in fact, guilty of the crime he was charged with. Well, five gang members come up on a rival gang member and beat him to death, right? One gang member is, I'm just watching. So is that, do I get that body or not? Is that felony murder? Is that quite basically everywhere in the United States? You there commit a crime, and someone dies as a result of you commit a crime. So you're part of the why this guy is being restrained to be murdered. You're there. You're not trying to help him get away. So you're there to support the people who are restraining him. So that makes you a part of this crime, an integral part of the crime. If you want to be treated as an individual, you should act like an individual, right? I don't know if you guys remember Harris saying, don't follow the crowd. You can't do anything the crowd does. They jump off the roof. You're going to jump off the roof too? It is impossible to treat each of the officers as individuals when felony murder or murder deaths in a group effort. You know, it's like if I rob a bank, I have to shoot out on a police officer shoots a 8-year-old kid. That's a homicide that goes to me, right? That's the way that thing goes. So if the officer wanted to separate himself from the terroristic criminal behavior of the officers observed on this dreadful night, he should have intervened, preventing these monsters from verbally. Because you can see, he always know what this clique is. These guys are in the habit of doing it. I'm going to assume this is how they roll, right? Once the verbal assault started, he should have shut them down. And physically, he should have prevented the verbal and the physical assault of Tyree Nichols. Mills Jr. should have intervened to keep his head off the chopping block. It's for nothing but for himself. So he don't care about Tyree Nichols. He should have intervened for himself. Why did he do that? You can't explain away or justify attacking a man during a traffic stop, handcuffed behind his back. It is a cowardly act perpetrated by cowardly liars masquerading as peace officers. An officer has a duty to intervene when a crime is being committed. Who did that? If you allow this fellow officer to break the law, he is as guilty and a co-defendant in the crime being committed. You know what I'm saying? That's no different than me and my homie walking up to somebody and my homie smashing his teeth out going in his pocket. All right? I'm going to get that aggravated battery and that robbery, right? It's going on robbery. I'm going to get it's going to be two guys. There's one that actually hit him. Right? So I'm going to court and say, hey, well, I ain't going to pack it. But I'm there supporting the crime. That's what this guy is doing. And it's worse for him because he's a police officer. If law enforcement has the code of conduct that supports violating the rights, dignity, and life of civilians, it is way past time to hold law enforcement harshly accountable for their crimes, particularly such as this. As long as there are no swift and brutal consequences for these swift and brutal acts, murders of law enforcement, members of law enforcement will continue to murder and brutally assault people and explain it away in court if it makes it to court. It is not law enforcement's job to terrorize and brutalize people. If it is, the people should defend themselves and others by any means necessary from the tyranny of law enforcement. The question is, when does a man or men have the right to preserve or defend the life or health of a man or men when law enforcement officers are the perpetrators of the brutality? Tyree Nichols initially willfully surrendered to his killers because he is programmed to respect the authority of law enforcement, maybe because he respects or fears law enforcement. Apparently, not all of law enforcement is programmed to respect the rights, dignity, and life of the people they engage. Officers had no respect for Tyree, as evidenced by their verbal threat. Well, this thing started way before they put hands on him. And language upon approaching the scene, they didn't respect this brother. They was letting him know, basically, I'll F you up. I will kill you. Right? That's where they're supposed to stay. Taxpayers should not have to be afraid, fearful, degraded, diminished, terrorized, threatened, beaten, or murdered by law enforcement. This was a traffic stop, regardless of if there was truly a traffic violation or not. No one should have put their hands on Tyree Nichols. They should have explained why he was stopped, conducted a sobriety test, if they thought he was drinking, gave him a ticket, and went about their merry way. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you do, if he's drunk, you arrest him. But none of that happened. Now all five officers are on trial for their lives because of their foolishness. They have the nerve to murder this man on video. That is bold. Mills Jr. needs to testify against the other four to try to separate themselves now. I don't see how the DA needs this testimony to convict them. Saw it on videotape. You're a police officer and you failed to intervene. So as Malcolm X said, if you're not a part of the solution, you are a part of the problem. Now, we have to wonder why five men, in this case, five black men, terrorize, violate, and brutalize another black man. Are they trying to impress their white officers to gain acceptance? Do they hate people who look like them and are simply an extension of the current black-on-black homicide plague? As Buzz called it earlier, he came with a chemical explanation for, guys hyped up on these hot shots and stuff like that. This is yes, these modern-day slave catchers have beaten. Yes, these modern-day slave catchers, would they have beaten a white man to death in Memphis? Would they? What y'all think? I think not. I think these same animals would have done that to a white guy. You can hear them conspiring to create a scenario that supports their use of way past excessive violence. It is a traffic stop. Why are they pulling Tyree out of the car? It's ridiculous. Unexcusable. That's a sad story, and I know that's not the only person that that's happened to. But this has caught the media attention. Now we're going to talk about Governor DeSantis. This is a CBS News article I was reading. Miami, right? Right? Governor DeSantis defends rejection of African American Studies course. And it seems like NAACP, a lot of these organizations, like they are panties in a bunch because he rejected it. So black lawmakers, religious leaders, and social and local elected officials are organizing events to speak out after the State Department of Education's Office of Articulation on January 12th sent a letter advising a senior director at the College Board that the Advanced Placement African American Studies course won't be offered in Florida public schools. The College Board developed Advanced Placement courses. He said, we believe in teaching. We believe in teaching kids facts and how to think, but we don't believe they should have an agenda imposed on them. That's very key as to why this guy may have voted against this, right? When you try to use Black history to shoehorn in queer theory, you are clearly trying to use that for political purposes, DeSantis said. That's his point. So what he's doing, I believe it was another white guy, he voted against this race marriage thing, and he's in a interracial marriage. He voted against interracial marriage because of something else that was attached to the law also, something similar to this. He can't be against interracial marriage. He's in one. But he was against what was attached to the bill. And here we have the same kind of circumstances where something is attached to the teaching of African American studies in school. But you have to wonder, why is queer theory involved in that? What are they trying to say about African American people? I don't get it. Advanced placement or AP courses are college level classes offered to high school students, right? So, Department of Education listed concerns found within the course as focused on five topics: intersectionality and activism, Black queer studies, movement for Black lives, the reparations movement, and Black study and Black struggle in the 21st century. Now, I get some of that. I get all but the Black queer study. Intersectionality is American. It says that racism is embedded in American society, characterizing the theory as a vehicle for the indoctrination of students, right? So, intersectionality of intersectionaljustice.org says the concept of intersectionality describes the way in which systems of inequality based on gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, class, and other forms of discrimination intersect to create unique dynamics. Intersectionality from www.ywboston.org, right? Intersectionality recognizes that identity markers, i.e. woman and Black, do not exist independently of each other, and that each informs the other, often creating a complex convergence of oppression. For instance, a Black man and a white woman make 74 cents and 78 cents to a white man's dollar, respectively, right? We got a lot of work to do in this country, but anyway, the department said a concern about instruction related to the reparations movement, all points and resources in this study advocate for reparations. So it sounds like to them someone trying to get their political agenda across to them, right? There is no critical perspective for balancing opinion in this lesson, they said, right? The department also took issue with several authors whose works would have been required reading in the course. But the rejection has drawn widespread criticism from Democrats and Black leaders. So the NAA, they outraged Senator Jones. Democrat West Park announced a news conference will be held Wednesday at the Capitol with black leaders. So. But DeSantis Press Secretary Brian Griffin said in a statement, as submitted, the course is a vehicle for a political agenda that leaves large, ambiguous gaps that can be filled with additional ideological material, which we will not allow. Ain't that the issue we've been toward any as it is? Anyway, Griffin also pointed to part of Florida law that requires teaching black history in public schools. So they say they already have laws that require teaching of black history. They don't need an advanced thing, right? So he like DeSantis is not against teaching black history in school. If Florida law requires teaching black history in public schools, it's just an advanced course. With college course, he's against some of the things that are attached to that, right? And how some things are presented, right? Instructional materials shall include the vital contributions of African Americans to build and strengthen American society and celebrate the inspirational stories of African Americans who prosper even in the most difficult circumstances, one part of the law said. So African American history begins with the enslavement on the shores of Africa to the enslavement of Africans in the so-called New World or America and struggles against racism, oppression, tyranny, rape, murder, segregation, Jim Crow, hatred, in this case, particularly in North America. It is a story of how some succeeded in spite of the barrier and the story of how some fall victim to the barrier. Truth is, in its entirety, African-American history is a history of horror and some accomplishments and successes. In their struggle to exist under the umbrella of white supremacy, right? The scientists does not think African-American studies should be used to introduce or indoctrinate to into this black queer study, movements for black lives, the reparations movement, and black study and black struggle in the 21st century. Well, movements for black lives are historical. General Sherman initiated reparations after the Civil War, stated the so-called slaves should get 40 acres and a mule, right? Of course, that was rejected from the Confederate presidential candidate won, right? The black struggle of the 21st century is a part of black history. Seems more like the Santos does not want students to learn that black people have been fighting for the same things for centuries. I don't get why black queer studies would be included, since a person's sexuality isn't historical unless it has a direct impact on a historical event. In this case, black queer studies. I don't see how queer studies would be appropriate. Individual sexual attraction and intercourse is not historical. It is biographic. It is, be it heterosexual or homosexual. A white man raping a slave is historical because it describes one of the horrors of slavery, be it homosexual rape or heterosexual rape of a slave. It is one of the perks of slave culture. History books do not reveal the sexual orientation, habits, or gender identity of America's forefathers for the most part, no more than it reveals the type of food they like. Their status and accomplishment that impacted on history is historical, right? We don't talk about if George Washington was a sexual animal with his wife or anything like that, right? Or with one of his captains. That's not what he's famous for, right? Status and accomplishment that impacted on history is historical, not how they preferred sex, unless they were raping slaves during slaves, turning them into male or female homosexual or bisexual objects of pleasure, having these sex farms and stuff like that, right? Black queer studies, as DeSanto said, it's being shoehorned on the hill of African American studies. I can actually see what he's saying there. So I don't know what these black guys are up, but you just can't just, you gotta look and you gotta listen to what people are saying. And for the queer part, black queer studies, I get it, but everything that impacted on the slaves, the African American captives, however you wanna put it, is part of the African American history in this country up until to date. It says the advanced place of course in African American studies, right, after rejecting that, citing examples of what he calls the woke indoctrination of students that would violate state laws restricting how race can be taught in the classroom. I say just tell the truth. If you got state laws against telling the truth, then your state laws should be invalid. It says the Department of Cities, Department of Cites inclusion of readings from many major African American scholars, activists, and writers, and exports of subjects like black queer studies, literary thought, and the reparations movement and intersectionality. And I think he has a point there. Then he went on to say, intersectionality, which refers to the way various forms of inequality often work together and build on one another, is foundational to critical race theory and rank people based on their race, wealth, gender, and sexual orientation. That's consistent with what the definition was. So I think he has a point there. But if you want to teach things about gender, identity, and things like that, that's separate from black history. Whether somebody identifies as male or female, or is a traditional male or female, things like that. Harriet Tubman, she freed the slaves. She said that was something that you would expect a man to do, actually. Come back, free those slaves. That you want to be free for, follow me. Right? You would expect a man to do that. Harriet Tubman did that. Does that make her a masculine? No. That makes her a deliverer. So we need to start, I don't know. And I'm not saying that she was all cited on one of these as an example. I'm just saying, you know, history is what we're talking about. We're not talking about people's sexuality. You want to have to talk about people's sexuality? Have a course in the history of sexuality, right? We don't have time to be concerned if George Washington was a sexual animal with Martha or a sexual animal with his first captain. Not historical, biographical in relationship to the life of George Washington. Had no impact on the war. Right? Anyway, for the law requires the study of African American history, right, as I said. Passing restrictions on what students in Florida can and cannot learn. I would be interested in what that is, because how do you say it, what a person can learn and can't learn? How about learn the truth? So this critical race theory thing, I don't know why they call it critical race theory, number one. If you're teaching in a history class, if you taught American history, African American history American history is built on African American history, because America became fluent off of slave labor. That's how banks became powerful in the North, off of the South. Slave labor, black Africans, however you want to call them, slave, captive, whatever. Right? So what does the Santos, how do they feel about that, that being left out of the, you know, mainstream? And slavery was not I own you work, like kind of like thing. It was a, like I said, a horrific experience. Just imagine somebody coming to your house, taking your kids and selling, taking your husband or your wife and selling, taking your wife and having sex with her, impregnating her, taking you, raping you, beating you. Just imagine that. Because it's unimaginable to me, even though I know that happened. Anyway, they went on to say the Education Department informed the College Board, the nonprofit organization that administers AP exams, that it would not include African American studies class in the state's course directory, asserting that it was inexplicably contrary to Florida law and significantly lacks educational value. See, and that's because. Now, I think everything has like this, queer studies. We have people who consider themselves queer, the whole LGBTQ thing. It's good to study them, you know, because of the study how, you know, homosexuality and stuff like that, like in the DSM, how it got out of the DSM, who got it out, how they got it out, was it scientifically fact or how did it get out? How did it get out of the DSM? How did you get others? How did you get things into the DSM? It's we should, if you want to study something, study about these people because they're here. They don't seem to be going anywhere, and they appear to be in places of power. As you can see, this guy, the Santos, is concerned as the Republican Party, as opposed to the Democrats. Democratic Party are concerned with people being indoctrinated with these forms, these lifestyles, right? He has a point there. So if you want to have that, don't bring it in on the back or shoehorn it in on African American history. I say that's a good idea. Take it out and have a specific course that deals with that, that whole LGBTQ thing in history. Just take it out. Don't worry about it. Because we have a history of heterosexuals, specifically of heterosexual peoples. No. We don't have that. So we're not really focused on what people do with their private parts. We're focused, this should be focused on what they do that impacts on the society, right? That's why these things are important. Because a lot of people might be gay, might be bisexual, might be trisexual, quadruple sexual. We don't know. But we do know what they did historically. And that's what we're getting. When we have a history lesson, not important what a person did in the bedroom, the barn, or in the woods, or something like that, right? What do they do that? How does it impact on society, right? Or a group of people, and things like that. Their individual tastes or food, and I mean, come on, like, let's not go there. That's what I say. So, what is real black history of? Or a watered-down version of black history will not be taught in school. As Luke from the Two Live Crew said, right? You're responsible for teaching your descendants about your descendants. It is not like this stuff happened thousands of years ago. Black people, well, what is this all about? Teach your people, be more responsible for teaching your people about their history. I think that's an excellent idea that Luke said. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be taught in the educational system either, but I think really what black folks want black people to know, teach it amongst yourself like they used to, like the elders did a long time ago. Hand it down, right? Speak about it daily. Don't wait. Don't go for that Black History Month. Teach your children about the how we got here, what happened, why we were here up to this point. Give it to them. You know, based on you know, how old they are and how mature they are. Well, we've run out of time. Until next week, y'all. Each one, each one, each one, each one. I want to thank Ballpark Radio. We got production and Mr. Kenneth Jones for allowing me to host this show. All my callers and listeners, thank you very much. Until next week, peace, y'all.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.